Hello everyone, welcome back to the Shuntaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today we're going to talk about Ouchigari, period,
another episode of the Technique series, yeah.
That's right. But we want to first and foremost thank our sponsors.
Yeah, Jason and Levon, yeah, thanks for your support.
Really appreciate you.
Yeah, and that you guys are the reason why we can talk about Ouchigari for 30 minutes.
That's right, Ouchigari is inside trip. And yeah. I love inside trip. It's like every single grappling sport ever has inside trip, right? But the depth of it, you know, people think it's an individual thing. How do you do Ouchigari? And traditionally, there's one method, right? Where the toe never leaves the floor. But if you look at every single competition footage, the toe leaves the ground.
And then you kind of hop into it.
And then they say, oh, you have to go at this 45 or that 45. They're all correct. There's many, many ways to do it. That's the first and foremost thing, right? If someone tells you, no, you have to open up the gi and go chest to chest and make a circle with your foot, that's not true, right? There's so many different ways to do it. And unless you mastered all of it, you can't really teach a sort of Ochi, I feel like.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
So is that one of the throws that you teach people first? Like one of the first throws you teach, like just like Ostogari?
I mean, technically, like, Osoto is the first and foremost throw, and I kind of disagree teaching that first, but I still do it anyway just because it's kind of easy, right?
Yeah.
It shows the mechanics of it. It shows the balance of it. It's very easy to kind of understand, like, you know, fulcrum levers, attacking the base, et cetera, right? So I generally teach Osotogari first, but all the different variations of Ouchigari, I don't usually get too deep into it with the beginners.
Yeah.
I tell them, like, this is the basic inside trip. Mm-hmm. It's never going to look like this because there's many reactions that you have to take into account.
Right.
And then the intent of the throw, using it as a setup versus trying to throw on the first shot when you're, like, clipping that leg, those two things makes it a very, very, like, a versatile throw, right? It could look very, very different based on how you're using the technique, you know?
You can kind of, you can enter in any angle and you can finish in any angle. Kind of thing, very...
Yes. And then the beauty of Ouchi is, like, once you enter it, you could force it.
I see.
Like, Kochi can't really, it's much more timing oriented.
Right.
Unless you're doing like a Kochi Makikomi. But Kochi Makikomi, if you miss that leg, it's completely gone.
Yeah.
Ouchi, you could hook it, elevate it, and then work from there and force the person down.
Almost like drive the person wherever you want it, right?
Yes. And it's a position, right? Hopping Ouchi, hopping inside trip, it's a position.
Yeah.
No different than somebody shoots in on a single leg and you start with the leg, right?
Mm.
Because that person in one leg versus two legs. You know what I mean? So Ouchi, when you're able to force that position and you're good at that position, you can almost always take advantage and throw the person, right? If you know how to stand your one leg, you know?
So do you recommend practice specifically for that? Like hooking it in and then try to steer the person basically?
Yes, I'm a big believer in like doing that one-legged stuff. Like, all right, let's start in Ouchi position. Nice and easy, like cutting back 45, going across 45 for like cross body, switch to Osoto, right? Unlink the leg, go Uchimata, et cetera, you know? Because you can essentially go four ways, right?
Yeah.
Back 45, straight back, 45 to the other side, and then turn for Uchimata, right? And you can alternate between these. You could turn Uchimata, come back for Ouchi to the back 45.
Yeah.
You know? And then he hops and adjusts his base to keep it underneath the center of gravity so he doesn't fall. And as he's hopping, you shift it to the crossbody Osoto.
So let's go over this again. So there are four directions you said. So basically, the first thing people usually do is forward right 45 degrees, I guess.
Yeah, like I go in. Yeah, 45 to the right, yeah.
And then you could go forward left 45 degrees.
Yeah, and you can just go straight back too if you clip them perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can go back 45. Almost? No. Is that what you said?
You go turn throw Uchimata.
Oh, Uchimata. Yeah, I see what you mean. So those are the four directions. Like 45 right, left, forward, and then backwards.
Yeah. I mean, technically you could like hop in them more and then turn them to your backside 45. That's fine too. But, you know, like, now we're splitting hairs. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, the one thing that can't happen is I can't be directly in front of you and throw you over and behind me directly. I just can't do it. That's freaking impossible.
Do a little backflip.
Ouchi backflip, maybe. I don't know what that would look like.
That would destroy your knee, I could already tell you. Yeah. I see. So you recommend actually practicing that, like, not just the entry, but, like, once you hook it, going all these different directions. Yeah.
Yes. So like you can like fake forward and then go Ochi and anticipate which direction that he's gonna go and then rip it to one side.
Yeah.
You could definitely do that. You know, you could drill this kind of a thing, fake turn throw, cut back Ochi, right? Or you could just sort of start in the hooked position where you anticipate it that the guy is going to be able to space out with their right. leg because they're very good athletes, and then start from there and try to put your weight on the person and off balance them and then try to take them down from there. You know what I mean?
You guys do that a lot at KBI?
That's still yeah, every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, I got to revisit it sometimes. Sometimes like I'll start doing drills consistently. People get really good. And then I don't revisit that drill, and then now all of a sudden people have forgotten. You know, yeah. that's the thing that happens pretty frequently.
I see.
You know, it's just like there's so many drills to be able to do in such a short amount of time, you know? So.
Yeah, and another beauty of Uchigari is that it links really well with all, you know, we already mentioned Uchimata, but it can open up a lot of other throws. Like
So
it's start of a chain, basically.
Yep. And when you enter Ochi, generally the person shifts their weight to that other leg, and then you could attack that other leg, whether it's a Taiatoshi, ankle pick, knee pick, right? If you're doing jiu-jitsu, you could go Osotogari, Taiatoshi, Harai. You could do all these different things, you know?
Yeah.
So Ochi, Uchimata, Ochi, Uchimata, Ochi, Harai is a very, very, very common one that all the Japanese do.
Yeah.
You know?
And Inoue Kose, famously, he could seamlessly blend Uchigari and Uchimata together. Yes. That was his thing.
Yeah. So good. So good. Yeah.
You'd go back, forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you just wouldn't know. I mean, that's how you would hide it, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. So how do you recommend practicing this? Do you do a lot of, techniques, chaining together techniques?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, doing Uchikomi is like just a tiny, tiny piece of it. And then doing Uchikomi against the wall.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, like, having the person sort of angled off from the wall, so when I enter Ochi, they base out, and I cut back to the 45 and put their wall.
I'll
put their back on the wall, right? So the wall is holding them up. Something like that. You know what I mean?
I see.
And then go in the opposite direction, and then, you know, having the person angled off in the other direction, and then putting their back against the wall and driving them. So you get used to putting your weight onto the person, and then transitioning between the different types of Ochis.
Right.
It's really no different than three-person Uchikomi.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, to drive and making sure that the guy doesn't counter you, because Ochi counter is pretty easy, right?
Mm, we'll like talk about that later, yeah.
Because
it's like a simple dayashi almost, yeah.
Almost, yeah, and it's very intuitive to go for that, you know? As you're falling, just pull him over and twist, right? So all these different things are good drills to start with first, and then just doing that one-legged drill where you're like hopping on one leg and trying to finish it. That's also another good drill, you know?
So how about practicing using Ochigari as a setup for another throw? Like you mentioned, like Taiatoshi, Haragoshi, or I usually do a lot of Seiwe Nage after that.
Mm.
But it's not as simple as just Ochigari and then doing the next throw.
No.
I think there's more nuance to that.
Definitely.
It's almost like, for me, how it feels that you do Uchigari and then I have to almost let the person go away from me so that the person will have the reaction to come back onto me so that I can turn.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's one way. And then the other way is like you go Ochi high, right? And then try to finish whatever it is. And then the second you go Ochi high, you stab that step down and do like a two-step Uchimata. So it's almost like, hey, I'm going to go for Ochi, but then you plant that leg and then dive into the next thing, right? So that's a really more common one. Or even like, go Ochi, and then you know the person, as soon as you slip that leg in between their legs to hook it, they're going to shift their weight to the outside.
Right.
So you like sneak it in and then immediately go to the outside leg, obviously while doing the right thing with your hand, right? Mm. Proper hand position with the chin and the shoulder. So like that's another thing that you could potentially do, you know? So like drilling this kind of a thing, like anticipating the person's reaction, majority of beginners and intermediates, what am I doing wrong? But a lot of the times you're not really taking into account Uke's movement.
Yeah.
You know? And you do have to sometimes Uke blame. You gotta be like, you're not giving me the right reaction.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work this one reaction. You know, you're trying to do a Ochi Uchimata, but the person's leaning back. Obviously there's no Uchimata there, the person's leaning backwards, right? So it's like, hey, man, can you push into me and then understanding the right reactions to defend? Usually it's like a late stage defense thing, right? Because you're not going to be going for this from losing position.
Yeah.
So winning position or 50-50, and then you're entering Ochi, so the person's leaning into you. So that's the proper late stage defense reaction, which I just did a video on that. So you guys can go check that out on YouTube.
Yeah, right, I did see that. Yeah,
it's a good one, right?
All right, so I guess there's it's such a versatile throw, so there's a lot to practice for. So let's kind of be more specific. So how do you use Uchigari in your game? Do you use Uchigari a lot?
Oh, all the time, all the time. I like to clip it.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I like to just blast it and just chop at their leg from the inside and then surprise them and then take them down right away, right?
I see.
And then when they don't go down, I'll just adjust it cross body or whatever it is, Uchimata.
I see.
But I use it to off balance them a lot, split the legs, open the legs.
It's almost snap like
them down. Yeah.
Yeah. Just so that I remember when I play you, because of all your Ashiwaza, it's hard to stay grounded.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you always have to, you can't relax. I mean, that's the point, I guess.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want to finish the throw.
I mean, I do, but a lot of my stuff now is lots of moving, hand position, attacking the feet, creating movement, attacking the feet kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then I try to set up a big throw at the end of that, usually.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't see any of this stuff coming.
Mm.
You know, I could kind of rely a little bit more heavyweight style judo because I'm pretty big. I'm heavy, you know? So definitely trying that kind of a method. And then parlaying Ochi into a hopping thing and an Uchimata Kenken thing.
Mm.
I'm pretty good at it, but I'm not the best at it. You know what I mean? So I'm still kind of working on that sometimes, especially when I teach it. Mm. I get to do the drill and then see the gaps in my own thing.
Right.
So, you know, because a lot of my guys, we don't teach them to do a dangerous wrap and throw their body down Taniyatoshi. It's pretty discouraged in the gym, right? So it's I am sometimes susceptible to that kind of a nasty, terrible judo too. You know, even though I have enough experience to kind of feel if they're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, none of the best guys really do it because it's kind of low, you know, high risk, low reward kind of a thing. You know, high risk in a way where you could easily get countered, right?
Yeah.
So it's people don't really go for that, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of times, especially Taniyatoshi, it's of a last-ditch effort, if you and yeah.
Yeah, just that spammy Taniyatoshi against the inside trip or inside control position, it's high risk for getting taken down, and it's also high risk of injury.
Yeah.
So it's double the risk, you know? Yeah.
So
it's not great.
And I personally find that Uchigari very useful in the BJJ setting too.
Yeah.
Do you do that a lot? I mean, I know you try to play more guard and BJJ.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely a guard puller these days. I'm there to learn jiu-jitsu, so it's I'm not there to do judo. You know what I mean? And then if someone wants to work stand-up with me, you know, I'll let them. And so it's not in a way where I'm trying to relentlessly take them down. What's the point of that?
Right.
I'll let them work on stuff and I'll defend it and this and that. And then eventually, even if they take me down, it's fine. Because now I'm in the bottom position, I get to work my guard, which I wanted to work on in the first place. But I would give him good looks.
Yeah.
You know? And I fake a lot of shots and fake a lot of snap downs and enter inside trip and stuff. But there's no real need for me to take them down and work top position. Because I believe if you're training jiu-jitsu, you should be able to sweep them from bottom, right? And then you should sweep from bottom, work on guard. And if you could sweep them, now you're on top and then you can work on your passing. You know, I know that's kind of controversial to say because it's people make fun of guard pulls all the time. But, you know, I'm trying to work on that. So it's why wouldn't I want to, you know? What's the point of me throwing them Taiyatoshi, landing side control, and holding them there for 5 minutes? There's zero use or utility in that for me. I don't get nothing out of it.
Yeah, you're not learning anything. Yeah, I guess.
Other guy learns nothing too.
Yeah.
You know, he learns judo guys are dicks. That's what they learn. They're not going to want to work out with me anymore after that. Yeah, so that's the whole
thing. And you also still run the judo class there, right?
Yes.
So do you teach Uchigari a lot?
I do. I teach Uchigari to a leg pick. I teach Uchigari into Uchimata sometimes.
That's pretty advanced. Yeah. Uchigari to Uchimata.
Yeah, but Kenken Uchimata only for those guys.
I see.
A backstep Kenken Uchimata with the close side collar framing down so then they can't wrap you up, right?
I see.
Because it's a different style. You know?
A little bit of keeping the distance with your arm and so they can wrap around.
Yeah. And I remember one of their guys asked me their hometown jiu-jitsu school, the teacher was this is how you do Uchimata. And he wasn't even a judo guy, but throwing the hips really deep across because he saw it performed like that in an instructional. But I was the guy's not wrong, but it's almost impossible to hit that on a jiu-jitsu guy who's defensive in your rule set. And there's other types of Uchimata that are probably a lot better to go for first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uchimata is another throw that's kind of like Uchiga in a sense that there's so many different entries and the ways to finish it. Yeah. But that's why it's popular. Yeah.
Yes. But they're the two most closely related throws that work really complementary well together. And everyone says this, right? But they don't. And to explain why, it's because you're attacking inside leg position with your dominant leg.
Yeah.
Not dominant leg, but like in a way where you're entangling your leg.
Yeah,
right. And you're both forced to stand on one leg, right?
Right, right.
So like having that balanced explosivity from there, that feel, very, very difficult. But you know they're very related.
Yeah,
you know it's both powerful throws.
Yeah,
it's more timing is important, but not as important. You know.
Yeah, those two. You know, I've been working on that all my life, but it's just as a Serie Nugget player, it's just a little different, hard to get to. Yeah.
Drop Senagi player.
Drop Senagi. I don't stand unless I have to.
Yeah.
So, okay, now we kind of covered how to attack this move, but now we briefly mentioned earlier about the counter. So there's a very easy counter where if you come in with your Ochigari without breaking the balance of your partner, they can simply just turn. Like, they don't even really need to sweep. They just kind of go with the throw and the turn, and then you could counter that. So, and then there are other ways to counter. So, like, how can we prevent that? Is it just a matter of grip fighting again?
Yeah, I mean, so there's three stages of defense here, right? So, it's like, first, if you're locked out with your arms and they can't get close, they obviously can't go ochi, you know?
Yeah.
When they get chest to chest, then you could hip check and turn the opposite direction. Right?
Mm.
And then weight that leg. Make that leg heavy and then turn in your shoulders and pull in their sleeve in. Right? So that's another later stage defense. Like I just said, there's a YouTube video on that. Right? Mm. And then you could time that entry and then take him over with a dayashi or a sasai to the backside. Yeah. Right? And then the third type of defense is like obviously hopping on one leg and keeping your base leg underneath you the whole time. Right, keeping your balance and while messing around with the hands.
Mm.
So there's many different levels to the defense. You see what I mean? I think the one that's very, very common is that big turning sasai or the dayashi.
Yeah.
And it generally happens because you're not controlling the person's upper body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they know it's coming and they could time it. They can anticipate it. Even if they enter in it and then they're just driving without controlling this side arm, right? Then they could rip it and turn. So if you can prevent that shoulder from turning, right? Then it's very, very difficult to do it.
Mm.
Even if I could turn, if you could get underneath the elbow, right? So you could have control underneath the elbow and then you could lift it, right? To where their center of gravity or center of axis gets skewed first and they get tipped over first.
Yeah.
Then you could prevent that as well. So there's many, many different ways to kind of get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's such an interesting point about both Ochigari and Uchimata because everyone thinks those are both classified as leg throws, but everyone does that leg part well because that's the most apparent part of the throw. But then they always forget that how important it is to control the upper body. Like you said, in Uchimata, you have to lock it down and keep pushing down the head and then with Ochigari, you have to make sure the shoulder can't turn and all that.
Yeah.
Is it just a matter of doing more ushikomi? It's like how can we make sure to do that, the upper body?
I think doing like sort of like low intensity drills where you're like not really finishing, so there's no real risk of getting bombed.
Yeah.
You know, and then you make an agreement beforehand, like you're gonna take me down.
Right? Yeah.
And I'm gonna kind of give you a little bit of a hard time, but you're gonna win. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no pressure of like winning, losing the battle. Mm-hmm. It's technically cooperative, but my goal is to kind of give you the right looks.
Yeah.
See, like those kinds of training, I think is like a very, very important piece of the puzzle that I think most gyms are missing, you know? Because if you take the pressure out of winning or losing, ego, you know, and people say, leave the ego at the door, but how many people actually do that? When it's like, all right, go takedowns, you know, who's going to let you... You know what I mean? It's very difficult to do, especially, you know, even the higher belts.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's a way to be able to drill that, you know, like sort of low intensity. Like the Russians drill like this all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Dude. There's no winning in training, right? Everybody wins. They say,
that's what they say, but it's hard to do it in practice.
Yeah.
I know that, I think BJJ kind of structures their practice better that way, like with the positional drilling, it's a little easier.
I think it depends where you go, man. Most gyms kind of teach a couple of techniques and they put five rolls on the clock, 6 minutes each or something, and then that's it. 30-minute instruction, 30-minute rolling, and that's it. You know, and there's a huge gap between like actually drilling these techniques that we're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you're learning deep half or something like that, deep half sweep, whatever it is, now all of a sudden you're going for a roll. How many times are you going to be exposed to that exact stimulus? Not that many times.
Yeah.
But one of the 10 a.m. class guys, Nick Domjoni, like he'll do... Let's just say he'll do like, all right, open and close guard. We'll start and close guard, and we'll do that position for like the first five rolls. You know, 1 minute each or something like that. So you're exposed to it at least.
Yeah. Like but start from think, that position that you just learned.
Yes,
yeah.
But I don't think that's the standard. I think still 90% of gyms just kind of like, hey, let me show you a couple of techniques here. Go roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just right? Wasn't it like that at your gym that you were going to?
Oh, actually, the instructions was... and they'll teach and then they'll do the positional drills before as like a part
of okay, that's good.
So,
yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I like that because you're right. Like when they'll teach me these crazy lasso guard or whatever. I don't even know the name. But then whenever I would actually get to hit that in rolling, because I'm just you know I'm bad at guard from to begin with, and you know. But that's. That's a good point. So I think,
You have a tripod sweep.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I hit that a lot.
That's like a coachy.
It is a coachy. I guess, Oh, yeah. Because I'm like kind of like hooking the back of the heel. Yeah.
Yeah. It's coachy. Yeah. coachy ankle pick. That's what it is.
Maybe I should make an instructional. Sure. Anyway. So, it's doing uchikomi is just a very tiny part of the whole. Like mastering that technique, and you got to work on all these different positions, especially throws like uchigari, where there's so many variations and stuff.
Yeah, the Ochi Uchimata instructional video is out. It's like the most concise. It's like a 15-minute video. It's $20.
Yeah.
Go check that out.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why we did this topic.
Yeah,
you know, it's out. We'll link it down below. It's really, really simple, and you'll see all the drills that I just mentioned. Right.
Yeah.
So you can kind of get a nice.
It's more like visual aid. You know, I know we've gotten comments about these episodes while it's interesting. It's hard to visualize. Yeah. So, I mean, this is complementary to the YouTube channel. So
now if you heard what I was just saying this whole episode, now you understand it conceptually and then you see the video and then you understand it visually.
And then,
now all you got to do is do some of the drills in the gym.
Yeah.
Pick someone before class. Like, it's okay. Don't, you know, falling's fine. Don't resist so much. And then do these drills, and now all of a sudden you're gonna be a menace in the room. You know when you guys are going live. That's the idea. You know, so
you can take a listen on this, get the concepts, watch the visual aid on YouTube, and then come back and listen to it again, so that you get the best, better understanding of the concepts. Then we get two listens out of it.
Yes.
All right. Anything else?
Mm-mm. That's it. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much for listening. And then please join us on Patreon. Support us.
Yep.
And thank you very much, Peter, for being here as always.
Yeah. Thank you, Shintaro. Yeah. You're the star of the show, you know?
No, stop. So.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.